100 Word Stories. Hi there, this is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. We've got a good weekly challenge for you coming up this week. It's on the topic of doom. Little Halloween kind of feel if you let it. Or not, you can name your kitty cats or puppy dogs Doom, it doesn't matter. Or ferrets or whatever the hell freaky animal you've got in there. All you people with koalas, you shame the human race. So let's just get right to it and get some stories going. I post the topic, you come up with the stories. We jam them all together here, then we see if I totally lose my crap while stringing them together. Good coffee, got laundry going. It's a Sunday. Football's coming up later, so. And there was football yesterday. Was it Mississippi or Mississippi State? I can't tell. But let's keep going here with... let's start with Anima Zavaleta. Let's see what she's got. Anima, get us started.
Hey there. Anima here with this week's edition. Not tonight, dear. Not married 18 months and already getting shut down. Headaches, bad days at work, arguments with family, hurricanes on the horizon. Dad gave me some advice when I first got married. I thought he was full of it. Every time you get some action your first year of marriage, put a bean in the jar. Year two, take a bean out every time you have sex. Bet you never run out. I sure hope he is wrong, because right now I am looking at a hill of beans. The opposite of in the mood is doom.
Thank you, Anima. Although you got to be careful about those beans. If they're coffee beans, someone might actually grind them up and use them for coffee. So you lose track. What? Oh, use jelly beans? Well, someone might grind them up for jelly coffee. I'm not sure how that works. But what I do know is that coming up next is John Musico. Here's his stories.
On the topic of doom, I have three stories. Doom by John Musico. So far to the water's surface, I know I won't make it. Now falling, falling, but no bottom in sight. I will to move and barely can, then I can't at all. All senses mixed, blinding sound, deafening light. Doom is upon me. This place that reads, abandon ye all hope. That is the ultimate doom, hope lost. And so, any talents to spare me, completely gone. So, I start with mustering back my hope. I just might make it to the surface. I just might soon see the bottom of the pit. I choose to fight and live. The Blanket of Doom Descends by John Musico. Jim thought, how will I drive after losing my leg? Hey, you're supposed to drive that way. Okay, I drive home to my wife. Oh yeah, she left me and took the house. I'll sleep at my office. No, I lost my job and with it the company car. I'll take a cab to a hotel. Ha! Jim opened his wallet. Broke. Then Jim broke. He held his arms out, threw his head back, wearily closed his eyes, and could muster hope no longer. The clock of doom ticked louder and louder, till deafening. Then all went black, and Jim collapsed.
Doom!
Doom Approacheth, A Nightmare, by John Musico. A moth caught in a web. That really must be a terrifying experience. The more the moth struggles, the more wrapped up in the web. In the meantime, the spider waits. When exhaustion overtakes the moth, the spider begins a slow approach towards the moth. The spider's beak extends and fills with a paralyzing venom. Then the spider pounces and skewers the moth. The frenzy silences, but not the muffled screams of the moth, paralyzed but still alive. It matters not to the spider. The gangly spider begins slowly sucking the blood from the moth, and its belly swells visibly.
Thank you, John Musico. Hey, I know what I can get for breakfast later. Moth. You know, the Moth Podcast does storytelling, but it's usually about something like, something horrible happened to me, but I learned from it, and now I can tell you the story, and we'll all feel good. Yay, I won! Okay, it turned out to be a lie. Oh, man. There was a moth flying around here earlier. Kept bumping against the screen and all that. Where were the cats? Why weren't they eating it? Well, Miss is asleep on the bed, and Tinny was asleep above the refrigerator. She's found a new hidey hole. I need to get a photo of her up there. Goofy little tree rat. Okay, next up? Yeah, Jeffrey, he's got some stories for us. Let's give him a listen.
Good insert time of day. On this insert word or phrase about weather, insert day of week, it's Jeffrey Fisher here, coming at you from some other time of day slash day of week slash weather condition. I'm just back from a week in the Sunshine State, where I had my annual sighting of a cockroach the size of a small dog. I can't imagine what the natives feed those guys, but I wish they'd stop. Anyway, I'm here with a couple of stories on the topic of doom. My first story is called, How to Succeed in Business. How many people do you need for the project? Joanna's boss asked her. At least four. I'll give you two. Have you thought about your budget? 200,000 in 6 weeks. Okay, you can have 50 grand, and I want everything wrapped up in a month. Joanna shook her head and left her boss's office. This project was doomed from the start. 5 weeks later, as the project came in over budget and incomplete, Joanna and her team were fired. Her boss, however, collected a big bonus for reducing personnel costs. He thought that project succeeded admirably. And my second story is called The Torture Chamber. I gripped the arms of the chair. Beads of sweat formed on my brow and trickled down my face. I had a sense of impending doom. Then the door opened. A man stood in the shadows, just outside my field of vision. My worst fears were realized when I heard the whine of a drill. I clenched the chair arms still tighter and vowed that I wouldn't cry out in pain. They could get me into this chair, but they would never break me. "Now, Mr. Fisher, this won't hurt a bit," said the man, the drill in his hand. The sadistic bastard, I thought. "It's just a small cavity," the dentist continued. "We'll have you out of here in no time." "Oh, that's great, doctor, but don't worry about me. I'm made of tough stuff," I lied.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Okay, so I need to remember, disconnect from the power source, turn on the fan, sip some coffee, and keep walking. That's a bad thing to do, to stop walking when you're on a treadmill. You're supposed to have a safety key attached to you. No. So, yeah, got laundry going. Oh, there was a fire last night. Yeah, before I go to bed, I turn on this the standing floor fan, and the noise helps with the ear ringing and all that. And plus, I like the feel of the air. Well, I hear this swish and this bright light inside of the plastic case, and then I smell acrid smoke, and it's like, oh, joy. So I turn it off, unplug the thing, run to the smoke detectors, turn them all off, and carry it outside. Of course, at 2:30 in the morning, Gina's making pizza, and the smoke detectors go off. Well, at least I remember to put the batteries back in the things. Right. So, what? Oh, okay. Let's continue with some real stories. How about some stuff from Richard?
Good morning. How are you doing? Yep, me too. Well, I thought this week's topic would be a simple one, but it turns out that I'm the simple one. I couldn't come up with anything, apart from two George stories. The first is called Medical Report. Subject: George Atwell. History: car accident, concussion, coma, no lasting effects. Scenario: Beta 4. Prognosis: subject has shown some signs of improvement. However, initial assessment indicates that he is unlikely to pull through and should be considered a borderline case. Possibly some merit in further monitoring of progress, however, consensus of opinion is that subject is ultimately doomed and unlikely to survive. Progressive failure is anticipated. Recommendation: continue observation, but intervention is not indicated if subject does not improve. The single sheet report ended with a scrawled signature at the foot of the page and a large red stamp. Failure. George's hand shook as he finished reading the report. What sort of a hospital was this, and what the hell did they mean by ultimately doomed? George couldn't imagine any doctor using such terminology. Neither could he comprehend why an injury should be described as having no lasting effects, yet he was considered unlikely to survive. The more he discovered, the less sense any of it made. And what was with the failure stamp and the Beta 4 thing? George began ransacking the office, determined to get to the bottom of things, but to no avail. The answer lay elsewhere. And that's it. Two stories on the topic of doomed. And until next week, maybe I'm doomed too. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. Although I don't think you're doomed. As long as you keep coming back to the weekly challenge, you don't want to just end up like all those others. Thank you. Next up is Lizzie Goodcough. She's got just every week, keeps coming back. She's not doomed. None of you, I think, are doomed as long as you're a part of this. But once you give up, once you walk away, you better come back. Oh, right. That wasn't a thinly veiled threat. Veils? No, curtain, I think. A curtain of chocolate. Here's Lizzie.
Doom was an unhappy robot that got tired of doing robot stuff and wanted to become human. The problem with that decision was the fact that Doom had no idea about how to be human. Doom tried crying, Doom tried smiling, Doom tried sneezing. Nothing worked. One day, Doom's neighbor, Robot Calamity, came over for tea. They engaged in a philosophical conversation about human beings, and Calamity thought Doom's ambition of becoming one was utterly horrendous. But Doom would give up. Halloween was right around the corner, and Doom would be a human, even if only for a few hours. This is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Oh, those robots. Those crazy, wacky robots. Oh, man, another sip of coffee will do. I'm not looking forward to getting on the scale. Even though I made a huge bowl of snap peas and carrots and celery and broccoli and had hummus and other things to dip in that were relatively healthy, but certainly better than, say, potato chips and fries. So I had all that set out to watch during the entire day of football. And what do? Well, I had half a tongue and chopped liver sandwich left over from Friday. Oh, yeah, by the way, I had a tongue and chopped liver sandwich on Friday, but only half of it. And, well, yeah. But at least the damage was spread over 2 days. So, yeah. But still, making sort of progress, I think. One day I'll post up the chart, put a link to it in the show notes or on the site, hidden somewhere that I'm ashamed of. Right, okay, enough of shame eating. How about we pass things on to Tom for shame listening? God, I could eat a whole sandwich.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got a story tonight. Doom. Rudy did not particularly care for first-person shooters, but his friend Max loved them. They played till their fingers bled. Got world-class good at the game. On their third deployment in-country, the friends saved their platoon from enemy crossfire. During the Army's interview for the Congressional, all the survivors said, Rudy and Max kept chanting, Doom, Doom, Doom. They did the impossible. In an impossible situation, they buried them side by side at Arlington. By decree of the Senate, no cross, star, or crescent graced their stones, just a carved icon of the video game Doom. And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, I'm back from the laundry room. Everything's in the dryer. I watered the plants. I've got the timer going. I've got my coffee right here. Hopefully I get this done just in time so that when it's time to get stuff out of the dryer, this thing is rendering in GarageBand. Perfect timing. Done. Awesome. We'll see if I can pull that off. You know what else? Blue has stories for us this week. A lot of them. How about we give them a listen?
Hi everyone, Blue here, and I have two stories for you this week. The first story is titled, Dating Woos. My Asian mother told me, don't date until you're 40, don't wear makeup until you graduate and have to look pretty to get a job, and don't flirt with boys. Why not? I asked. Because you don't want to destroy your life. You need to get a job and have a good future first. Is a good future, Mom. You'll be a rich doctor and make lots of money. When I dated my first guy at 16, my dad sat in a darkened room with tears streaming from his eyes. My daughter is doomed. I hid the nail polish. My second story is actually for Jeffrey. Although I don't know you well enough, Jeffrey, to write about your prostate, I thought I could answer your question from last week's podcast comment here in story form. So this story is entitled, The Anatomy Lesson. Class was doomed. It was stiflingly hot and humid, an open invitation for the afternoon drowsies. So I pulled out the big gun, literally. Class, this is a vacuum. Sleepy eyes widened with growing curiosity at the sight of the nearly 2-foot bone sitting on my desk. I declared proudly, a penis bone. Suddenly, everyone woke up. Professor, what's that in the middle? It has a joint? No. That was a compound fracture that calcified and healed over. The males winced. And in case you're wondering, humans don't have baculum. There was a universal sigh of relief. Thank goodness. That's it for my two stories for this week. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and thanks for listening.
Thank you, Blue, and thank you also on behalf of Jeffrey for answering that question. I think it's very important that there is dialogue between the combatants, I mean participants, of this podcast. I do not have the energy to keep going on this, but I must. I got 23 minutes in before the alarm went off. This is my first wall. This is the first wall that I hit, and it's only 1 mile an hour as well. Although I have the fan off for most of it when I record. Enough complaining. Let's move on to serendipity quickly so I can turn the fan back on.
It seemed like a good idea. The exercise would do him good, and he'd maybe lose a few pounds too. Then, the fears set in. What if he slipped, propelled backwards by the machine, to crash headlong into the wall? What if the motors jammed, catapulting him through the nearest window? What if a short circuit sent electricity coursing through his body, stopping his heart, dead? It no longer seemed a great idea. But he stuck with it. Knowing that every day, with every step, the treadmill propelled him inexorably, inevitably, at a stately 1 mile per hour, to his doom.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Be worried. Don't be happy. In every life we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it up. Be worried. Don't be happy. Be worried. Don't be happy now.
It's your encouragement that I appreciate. Thank you, Serendipity. And yeah, it feels like that. Imagine if I were doing 3 miles an hour for a whole 50 minutes while recording this crap, huh? Yeah. The worst part about it is I need to trim the mustache, because it's long enough that it gets in the corners of my mouth, and ugh. No, I don't wax it, or... Although I could use the grease from the... Well, I'm just... Thank goodness I kept that in, huh? Yeah. Hopefully it'll come down with a cold and I won't be able to walk for a few days. I'm not that lucky. Let's move on to Muncie and see what he's got for us. Okay, Halloweenies, tune in your radios.
Greetings, Halloweenies, from Muncie. Ready to rock your face with another story. A story you can't even handle. A story you can't possibly hope to stand against. Halloweenies, prepare to meet your doom! Doom? These are the Halloweenies. Halloweenies, this is... Doom, by Christopher Monroe. The most interesting character in comics, to my mind, would be Dr. Doom. Specifically the fact that Doom is his actual last name. And, therefore, the last name of his parents. Parents who, in spite of the last name Doom, never once attempted to conquer the world and bend humanity to their horrible will. That we know of. Also, Doom had an actual PhD, which is nice. Doctor Strange was a surgeon. Doc Samson's a psychiatrist. Because Marvel, apparently, has the utmost respect for intellect and education. Not that you could tell that from some of their recent storylines. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's my thing, Halloweenies. And tune in next week, where I'll most certainly still be recording in spite of NaNoWriMo. Are you pumped up for Nano? I know I am.
I'm not. I'm not pumped up for NaNoWriMo. Every year, I try to come up with a way of shirking my NaNoWriMo responsibilities. Then there are the people who are like, oh my god, I don't write so much every day. Try doing 100 words every fucking day until you die, okay? Then you can whine. Oh, yeah, and thank you, Muncie. Thank you, Muncie. Oh, NaNoWriMo. How many of you people are going to be flouncing around in that, giving it a shot, coming up with your stories? We've seen there was Flypaper Boy by Normal Joe was started off as one of those, right? With a little bit dipping into here, I may have recognized a passage or two. Okay, throw me a fucking bone here. Actually, throw me a pitcher of water. Oh, wait, no, I've got hot coffee. That will be refreshing. How many of you are listening to this while on a treadmill or some sort of exercise torture device? Chelsea, what about you? Oh, man.
Doom by Chelsea. In high school, we had a truly awful intro to computer class that was mandatory for all students. It was back in the era when students didn't have at least one computer at home. And that right there should tell you about how old I am. This class started out with how to turn the computer on and went to typing with proper finger positioning to document formatting. Basically, things that a half-intelligent 16-year-old could master with minimal effort in about a month. After that, it became a race to get your hands on the program disk for Doom.
Thank you, Chelsea! Oh, those classes. You know what I need to do? I need to go back to college and take that one class that I failed so that I stop having nightmares about it. Of course, what I'll probably do is fail it again and then have more nightmares. Do they allow you to do that? Even if you graduate, you just go up to the provost or whoever it is and say, my doctor says that I'm having nightmares and I need this as a prescription. Do you think you can get some free college courses that way? It shows here in your transcript that you never actually took this class. No, really. You can get an MBA, PhD out of it. Give it a try. Let me know how it works. Put it in the comments. Next up, the return of Spate. I know you've been waiting for this. Oh, wait, that was last week. Oh, well, here he is again.
Mostly True Tales from the Navy, number 5, Fire Party. If I had joined the Navy seeking adventure, working nights on an aircraft carrier certainly would have fit the bill. However, I hadn't. But there I was anyway, on the flight deck next to that fully loaded F-4 with the engine fire. Hats off to those reckless sailors who hurtle towards the pending disaster, the Air Ops Fire Party, all gung-ho and can-do grit. We nicknamed them Doomers. Me? I was the peckerhead that dove into the catwalk furthest I could get from those Sidewinder missiles and that full tank of JP-5. Call me Just Wanting to Stay Alive.
Was doing a little hoedown here on the treadmill to that background music. That was catchy. I like it. And the credit for it is in the show notes. Now, if you're using background music that you may or may not be allowed to use, I don't care, that's not my problem. You can talk to the lawyers. Just let me know what it is, and I'll put it in the show notes if I remember to copy-paste it, because I can be a serious chucklehead after about, let's see, 23 plus 15 equals, yeah, that's chucklehead, even at 1 mile an hour. And the coffee. Why am I not drinking something with ice in it? You should have iced coffee. No, that takes effort. That's pathetic. Not having enough effort to just pour your fucking coffee in a glass full of ice? Wow. No wonder why I got so fat. Okay. No, actually, I blame the chopped liver and tongue on rye with Munster sandwiches. Oh, those are so good. Oh, and the pickle. Don't forget the pickle. Are you forgetting the pickle, Zach, man? I'm going to check up on you. Where's that pickle?
Now my doom is sealed. If I am damned anyway, maybe I should just lie in the sun and end it all. I don't want to have to kill to live, or unlive, whatever, lamented the recently turned vampire. As your psychologist, I'm not sure if I should, in your situation, tell you that suicide is wrong, or if it's suicide when you're already dead. But as someone who has read Bram Stoker's Dracula, I will tell you that sitting in the sun may be as effective in killing yourself as slitting your wrist with an electric razor.
Hey, I've tried that before. It left it so smooth, but I have hairy wrists. Oh, thank you, Zach Man. I do need to one day get an electric razor because I am sick of taking an hour of shaving my head with a normal one. Although I'm sure that the electric, I mean, I'll need clippers. And then a really fine electric razor gets smooth. Otherwise, I'll wind up stubble boy, which isn't so bad. I look actually really good with just a little bit. I have that kind of, who's the dude on Special Victims Unit? Not the kids who were murdered and raped. The dude, Elliot Stabler. I kind of have that look, except he had about 150 pounds. And an ugly face. Oh, right. I shouldn't be denigrating myself. That drives people away. As opposed to my ugly face. Let's keep going here with, who's next? Oh, Dionysus. Oh, good. I can just cry in the corner now.
Hi, it's Dionysus Close with some stories about doom. Doom is such an inspiring theme. There are four stories. The first one is called Pitching Doom. He stopped. One spoke. Let's cut to the chase, Mr. Doom. Angel, I hope you don't mind, Angel. On hell, we're not seeing a market for anything this bleak at this time. Total annihilation is passé, even, said the second. Do you really need the ending? What if everyone isn't really dead? The universe survives somehow. Basically, we need someone alive at the end, or our audience walks out thinking, what am I doing here? That's depressing. Technically, they should be dead. And it kills the word of mouth. No momentum. On the other hand, I see a big opportunity here for the spoof. Our customers think, everything's ridiculous. Win-win! The next story is called The Three-Legged Stool. Hegel's ist kein philosophy of doom. But why not? Mein Gott, you want to kill yourself. When Hegel was just a little tiny boy in Stuttgart, he had a little red three-legged stool. Stuhl ist kein Stuhl, ein Melkschemel, mit drei Stuhlbein. Aha! Mein Hut, hat drei Ecke. This little Melkschemel discovered Hegel the dialectic. Look, forget Trinity. Mein Gott, Hegel liked sitting more than church. Also, ein leg fell off the stool. And what happened to Hegel? The little tiny boy Hegel, already with the big thoughts. Not Tulik. He hurt his bottom. The light from heaven came from that stool. And the third story is called Second Thoughts. It sent shockwaves through the realms when Dr. Doom was shown to have plagiarized significant parts of his dissertation. Many of us had come to accept Doom's word as fact when it came to endings. Yes, he had given us a new context. Yes, he had made us see fire and ice in entirely new ways. No one had ever suggested such an anguished and protracted end before. Yet, no one can deny that the overall result has been a loss of faith in all bad endings. I think Doom himself ended up somewhere on the West Coast with a prescription for pot. And the last story is called Doomsdays. In the first days after the recognition of the approaching end, there was widespread and highly vocal, often tear-filled, debate. All that became irrelevant. Our own end is beyond us. This quality of contradiction pervades everything now. The orgiastic laughter one heard occasionally in those first days was a last scream of pain. The insect hovering erratically in the narrow moat-filled light is clearly the angel of death. The gangs of killers who roam the streets, hoping to snuff out whatever life they find, are angels of mercy. To dare to go out is to accept the fatefully ambiguous peace of death. And that is the end.
Thank you, Dionysus. And I may just add angels as a... Well, one or the other, angels or devils could be one, and then see which one people pick. I tend to do pick twos, although I haven't done one for a while, but it would be neat to have just pick one and you can't do the other, like sponge cake and square dancing. What? Oh, I need to get a picture of Tinny up on the refrigerator. It's such a cute little boo, knocking everything off the fridge. So, thank you, Dionysus, and let's continue on to Norval Joe, who we all know is going to be doing that Norval Joe Arimo thing. I keep saying that I'm going to do it, but I do enough fucking writing at work. Actually, it's the editing that kills me. No, it's the tracking down of shit and trying to make sure that it's technically correct. And in the meetings now, there are two grammar Nazis. Here's Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 444. Yes, with a prompt of doom. And this is your last week. I'm telling you, this is it. The last week to get your review in and the possibility to win for yourself a Kindle Voyager. Not something to shake a stick at, but something to write a review for. So anyway, here's my story. The more superconductor loomed over him, the more Wiener Dog Man felt his free will slipping away. He knew he would quickly cave in to the supervillain's doom. Durgle thought back on his most recent Tai Bo lessons, but there was nothing in the exercise program that he could use to extricate himself from this situation. He dropped to his hands and knees and bared his teeth. "I will channel the powers of the Wiener Dog." Garbage Man's mouth dropped open, while Superconductor closed his eyes and laughed. He didn't see Long John Silver sprint toward his master and leap. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Garbage man, don't worry. Take your time, don't hurry. The world is all yours to command. Okay, thank you, Norval Joe. Someone else can do the singing. Do we have anyone that actually sings anymore? Maybe you sang and I've totally forgotten. Perhaps I've had a stroke while walking on this thing. If I have, then good. Maybe I can forget some more bad things, like your singing. Tora, will you save me from my mealy mouthiness? There will be mealy, there will be mouthy. Mealy mouth. Is there an opposite to mealy mouth? I'm not sure. Starvy mouth? Snacky mouth? Maybe I need to turn the fan back on. I'm starting to overheat.
Doom is an inauspicious name for a doctor, even if not spelled that way. But young Thomas Doom had a medical vocation, and at last became Dr. Doom. When introducing himself, he always added, with a flicker of a smile, but not spelled that way. He once went on an exchange visit of 6 months to Japan. The administration required him to obtain a seal bearing his name in Japanese characters. When he received it from the chop-shop, the design seemed unusually complex, so he asked a Japanese friend to read it. It said, Tomaso Dumu Tatsunoto Superdo Zatoe.
This is where everyone pretends that they know Japanese. Okay, they'll probably say something in the comments. Thank you, Tora. I hope it wasn't something horribly offensive. Like, and we'll bomb you again. Shit. Yeah, this has gone downhill. Actually, can I put this thing on a decline? I can put this on an incline. Maybe if I want to go downhill, I can go incline and then walk backwards. And no, that doesn't work. So I read Chuck Palahniuk's Beautiful You. And once again, this is something that I would not recommend to anybody's parents or priests. It's Chuck fucking Palahniuk, dude. It's gonna go places. Yeah. How about I just pass things to Danny? Danny! Oh, wait. Nope. Turn the fan on.
Ah, the recording is prepared, and Danny Dwyer is here with Weekly Challenge 444 Doom! Brace yourself. I felt inspired, but be honest with you, I don't know if it makes any sense. But, you know, maybe absolutely nonsense makes sense if you're inspired to write something that is completely nonsense. Anyway, here we go with Weekly Challenge 444 Doom! Planet of the Grapes! Suddenly all the grapes became sentient. We're doomed, said all the assholes on Fox News, who were suddenly aware how juicier and therefore far superior the grapes were. Humanity was not convinced, and ironically defeated the grapes by confronting them with the smell of the corpse of Coleman Francis, combined with the legend of Ronald Reagan, then throwing them in a juice man juicer. Then Joan Quigley died, which disturbed all the French grapes, who realized they could not restore the damage done to humanity by being emulsified with Coleman Francis's corpse. Then Zig Ziglar lived. Doomed! Well, that's my entry this week, and I, like I said, it doesn't make any sense, okay? I threw a whole bunch of, like, things that pissed me off into a word pile. It's a word pile. That's my entry this week. It's a word pile. It's a pile of words. And, you know, you make with it what you want. You know, go visit Danny Dwyer at WordPress.com. You can download these words and then rearrange them into something that you think might make more sense. And I appreciate all of you who might actually take the time out of your lives to do that. Otherwise, it's Danny Dwyer here at, you know, DannyDwyer.wordpress.com, and deal with it. Have a good night or a good morning.
And oh, what a word pile it was. Thank you, Danny. You know, you could also use the term word salad, because you can toss a word salad. Although having your word salad tossed, I think you should keep that to yourself. And for God's sake, don't put it on YouTube. That's what Hulu is for. Make some money off of it. So we've got one more story lined up for you. It's the inevitable. It's the tragic Planet Z. I've warned you. I've given you a heads up. Now, put your ears down, your pencils to the side, and rest, for here he is.
The first-person shooter genre began with Wolfenstein 3D. It was an adaptation of the original Castle Wolfenstein game. You fought your way through Nazis, eventually killing Mecha Hitler. Then came Doom, where you fought monstrous demons from hell on Mars. I'm not sure how the demons got there. I never read the instructions. From what I could tell, scientists opened up a teleporter gate to hell on Mars or something, which is totally ridiculous. I mean, the teleporter gate we're developing here in the lab is completely safe. No demons are going to come pouring out of this thing, mein Führer.
Whoop, forgot to turn the fan off. Well, there you go, all bunch of 100-word stories on the topic of doom, 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 doom. Oh, I should probably do it in sync. In the background, you're hearing Matthew Evil Lost My Way, I think. I'm not sure. I've totally lost my way. You can check out more stories at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, whether they're weekly challenges or the crap that I do during the week. Whatever it is, I hope you enjoy it. And I hope you enjoy the challenge of writing a story on the letter X, the next weekly challenge. Until then, thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge, whether you wrote a story, read a story, listened to the stories, spray-painted a story on an emu. It doesn't matter. You're all a part of the family now. So take out the garbage and do the dishes. Oh, and don't forget to vacuum. I'll see you all next week. Thank you for being a part of this, and as always, keep it brief.